Dwight, we appreciate the good song service this morning, and I hope that all of us are wired for worship. You know, sometimes we say to people, they're a live wire, or boy, was she wired, or he wired. You know, I believe that God's people ought to be a people that are wired to worship. That is, to be able to enter into the house of God and honor the Lord with our lives. And it's something that all of us should be doing. You know, being wired for worship means that we love God, and there's no other place that we'd rather be than in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an honor and what a privilege it is. And David was right when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of God. There is no greater place. David said, there is no place that he'd rather be than to be worshiping His God. And I hope you feel that way this morning. You know, I always get excited about coming to worship God, whether it's on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, Bible class, Wednesday night, and people that are really excited about it will be here. A lot of people don't come on Wednesday night and on Sunday night because they're not wired to worship. If they were really wired to it, hey, you couldn't keep them away from being here. You couldn't do it. You know, the book of Psalms, chapter 100, is about being wired to worship. David said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Enter into His courts with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. What does it really mean to be wired to worship? The Bible says that we are to sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things among us. You know, I just couldn't imagine. There have been times when I've been sick on Sunday and couldn't meet with the brethren and be here with the Lord's church, and it really is disappointing. It's something that I love. It's my life. I enjoy being in the presence of other Christians. Let me tell you something. If you don't enjoy being in the presence of other Christians and there are things that you'd rather do when the church comes together, how bad do you really want to go to heaven? I mean, what do you think we're going to be doing in the glory of Almighty God? We're not going to be watching television. We're not going to be in the grandstands looking on at the judgment of God. You are going to be there. I will be there. Now, let me talk to you a little bit this morning about this worship and what it really means to be wired to worship. It means we should be enthusiastic when we worship. Did you know the Bible says that the early church came together on the first day of the week to break bread in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7? And they came together to share in that common spiritual meal that we call the Lord's Supper or communion. And they did it every first day of the week. And no one really gave excuses why they couldn't be there. They came and they did it because they love God. How many of y'all have ever been to a pep rally? I'm sure you have, haven't you? Yeah. And looks like we're going to have to start pepping a little bit more for Dallas Cowboys. I don't know, but I know one I know one thing. They need something. I don't know what it is. But you know what? It's amazing to me how we can go to a football game and people get all excited about the football game. And, they can bellow like a bull. I mean, they can holler. But when we come to worship, we sit very stoically, very firmly in our pew. And I know that some of you drift off when I'm preaching. And I try to get a little bit louder at the end to awaken you. And sometimes people sing that song, Asleep in Jesus. Had a guy sing a song one time right before I got up in a gospel meeting. And believe it or not, it was the song, Ready to Suffer. I thought, oh my goodness, what is he doing? The word enthusiasm that we all ought to have is a word that comes from the Greek language in which the New Testament was written. It's a preposition, and it just simply means in God, or God in you. God in you. And I ask you the question this morning, is God in you? I could ask also, are you in God? If you're in God, He is in you. Do you know David said, my zeal hath consumed me. in Psalm 69 and verse 9, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up," one translation says. And I can tell you, there is no place I'd rather be than in the house of God, worshiping my Lord. We should, secondly, not only worship and be enthusiastic about when we worship, but we should worship the right God. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Two elements, spirit and truth. We got some folks that worship in spirit, but they don't worship in truth. Now, but on the other hand, we got some folks that worship in truth, but they don't worship in spirit. They don't get into it. They don't sing. They don't pray. They're thinking about a multiplicity of things while I'm up here preaching the Word of God. There are lots of gods that people worship. I just listed a few up here. And you know what? We got a lot of folks out there in the religious world that worship various gods. They worship images. They worship money. They worship other people. You've heard others say, "She worships the ground that he walks on," or "she walks on," whatever it happens to be. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16, Moses said, "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." There is a tendency in our world today to worship things instead of worshiping Him. We ought to worship God, and we ought to be excited about it, that we're in God's house, and we ought to be excited about when we do it. I like the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 25, and the Bible tells us what these folks did and how they missed the mark. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, can you imagine someone worshiping a creature out there? People worship a lot of things. People worship their pets. Aren't you glad you don't live in Springfield? They're eating cats and dogs up there. Matthew 10:42, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." And if God says that, that excludes any other object of our worship, doesn't it? It means we just got to stay lively and stay focused and zealous about the God that we serve. Jesus had gone to a little community. It was called Sychar. It was where Jacob's well is today, believe it or not, has been preserved all of those years. But they had gone to Sychar, and there was a woman who had come to draw water, and we call her the woman at the well, for lack of a better name or terminology. And anyway, Jesus asked her for a drink. She was a Samaritan. Christ being a Jew, she says, "A little bit unusual that you're asking me for some water." But Jesus does. He says, "You know what? If you knew who I was, you would be asking me for the water that I give to you that will continually flow through your life. It is like a well that springs up within you." And then he said, "You worship you know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Do you know this morning that God is still seeking people to worship Him? I don't know why people wouldn't worship God. When you stop and think about all what the Lord God has done for you, I think about it every day, what He's done for me. He has preserved life, but yet the greater thing is He's given me eternal life. John said, "These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." But thirdly, when I think about this concept of being wired for worship, we should worship the right way. Did you know there is a wrong way to worship and a right way to worship? Jesus spoke about the wrong way in Matthew, the 15th chapter. He said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Now get that picture, if you will. Wrong worship, vain worship. But then he talked about true worshipers also. But the vain worshipers are those who espouse the doctrines of men, and they forget about the doctrines of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. You may be sitting here in this audience. You may be listening to this via YouTube and Facebook, and I have a lot of people that watch it, tune in every week. I get letters from people. I get calls from people. I had several this last week who tell us they watch the Give Me the Bible program, to Wyatt. And Wyatt, thank you for the good sermon last Sunday. It was great. And thanks to all of the men, Doug, Henry, and Kyle, last Sunday night. I think Carl alluded to it in his sermon, but they always do a great, great job. And we appreciate it very, very much. But you know, are you worshiping in the right way? Are you? Do you know for sure that you are? You know, if you were to ask the average person on the street and he said, oh yeah, I love God, and that's the extent of it. That's what he thinks his worship is. To worship God is to humble everything about yourselves and exalt everything about Him. That is what worship is. And that God is a spirit and we must worship Him. Notice that word must. It's not an optional word. But we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to tell you, when you go away from the house of worship, if you have worshiped in spirit and in truth, and you have the enthusiasm of God in you, you cannot help but feel better. You can't. The word thanksgiving is a word that is often used in the Bible. We're getting closer to Thanksgiving all the time, aren't we? Just a little over a couple of months here, I think. But it means to appreciate. Singing puts a smile on the face of God. You know, it puts a smile on us, doesn't it? People smile when they're singing and when they're glorifying God. But you know what? It puts a smile on the face of our God who is in heaven. And we must be a spark that lights up the heart of Jehovah God. We must adore His name. We sing, oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. What we need to do, when we talk about worship, there is a right way and a wrong way. We need to put down the to-do list. Everybody has one. I'm sure you do, too. You've probably already been making plans. What you're going to do tomorrow? What you're going to do this week? What you're going to try to get accomplished? And you know what? We need, just need to put down the to-do list and start thanking God for what He has already done. Praise comes from the Hebrew word hallel, and it actually means hallelujah. You know, people used to shout the word amen every now and then, and we get a little upset if they said hallelujah. I don't get upset. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Can y'all say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, I remember one time we had a guy come into our church house. And anyway, right in the middle of my sermon, he said, hallelujah. I heard a lady do that one time in the baptistry. I almost fell out. And anyway, I baptized her into Christ, lowered her in the water, raised her up out of the water, and she raised her hand and said, hallelujah. And everybody went, well, we had a man one time that came into our service, and I was preaching along, and he must have sanctioned what I said, and he said, hallelujah. And as a matter of fact, he did it about three times, and one of the deacons came down to him and told him, he said, look, we don't do that here in our church. He said, you don't? And he said, no. And he said, well, I just got religion. And he said, well, you sure didn't get it here. You know, if you're not interested in praising God and honoring the Lord, something is missing. We have churches today that have what we call praise teams. They get men and women up before the church and they sing for them. Well, you know what? The church is the praise team. Amen? Yeah. You and I are the praise team. Dwight was leading us, but he was leading the praise team a few minutes ago. We are all in this praise team. Praising God and having favor with all the people. But sometimes we fail to realize that people can't do our singing for us, no more than they can take communion for you, no more than they can show up now at the church house for you. No one can worship God for you. They can't do your praying, your giving, your singing, your evangelizing. Worship does not need a stage. You know, for some reason or another in the world today, we've got a lot of people think worship ought to be entertainment. And that's what it's about. Yeah, I'm not here to entertain God today. You're not here to entertain God. You're here to praise God and to offer Him the gratitude that is deep within your heart. You don't need a stage. You don't need a platform. Simply a heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to encourage and build one another up. And we do that collectively when we meet together. If you're not here, you can't do it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. We worship individually. Certainly we do that. I can be riding along in my car all by myself, and I'm just singing to the glory of God. People think I'm talking on my cell phone. But I'm singing and I'm praising God for what He means to me and what He has done. Come before His presence with thanksgiving and enter into the courts with thanksgiving or praise. But fourthly, when we talk about being wired for worship, it means we should be excited about who we worship. When we worship, how we go about it, where we worship, but who we worship. You know what? When we come into the house of God, we worship Him. It's not about us. Now, mind you, when we sing and we pray and we read the Word of God, it builds us up. It encourages us secondarily. But primarily, when we come together on the Lord's Day, it is to worship. It is to glorify God. It means to kiss forward. Some say their worship is boring. You know what? That's because their God is boring. My God's not boring. My God is much alive. And we sing about it. Our God, He is alive. He's not boring to me. We ought to be a people that take joy in the presence of God. I want to tell you something, too, you may not realize. Do you know that worship changes you? Worship changes me. It changes all of us. Actually, it should. Sometimes it doesn't. When we think about how we worship God, change will come. Know the Lord. Himself is good, verse 5 says. The Bible, the single fundamental truths of the Old Testament was worship. That's why in the Old Testament they placed such great value on worshiping God. They did. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is a neon light that is always shining, but He not blinking on and off. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The one single main truth in the New Testament is a foundational truth that we ought to be wired for worship. I like the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. I don't know how many times you go back and read those Old Testament books, but there's some great truths that are found there. The Bible says that they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house, to Ramah. Now get that picture, if you will. They rose up early in the morning. You know, we got some folks say, well, now y'all just meet on Sunday morning too early. Well, it's too early. Do you know we used to have Bible class at 9:45? And we kicked it back to 9:30. And we had less people come at 9:30 than we did at 9:45. You know why? They were in a habit of coming at 9:45. People say it's too early. But they rose up early, and they worshiped God. And Philippians 2:11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Say it again. And that, my friend, is an act of worship. Know ye the Lord, that He is God, and is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. You don't worship men. You don't worship the preacher. You don't worship the elders. We're not worthy of worship. You worship God. He is the one. He is the flawless one. He is the one who is perfect in every way. And we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Psalms 100, verse 3. Fifthly, we should be energized and be wired for worship in the way that we worship. In the way that we worship. Have you ever wondered why we worship the way that we do? Did you know God tells us how to worship Him, and His blueprint is pretty specific. And He tells us how to go about worshiping. And that's why we do what we do on Sunday morning. A lot of people may walk in and say, well, I don't see a piano. I don't see an organ. I don't see a musical instrument. And I said, here, let me show you. And I start singing. The book of Ephesians 5 and verse 19 says that we're to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. You know, a lot of people don't even know the meaning of the word a cappella. People use it a lot. You know what the word a cappella actually means? If you were to go back to Webster's dictionary, they would give you one of the defining truths about a cappella. You know what it is? And I quote, as the church sang. As the church sang. Huh. You know why we take the Lord's Supper? A lot of people take it every 3 months. Some people take it on Christmas and Easter and those religious holidays and things like that. You know why we do it every first day of the week? It's because the Bible says to do it. Acts 20 and verse 7 says they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And if you were to go back in the annals of history, you would find like people like, Josephus, many, many of them, would tell you that it was a practice of the early church, that they observed the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And isn't that what Christ said? As often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. The way we worship. Why do we pray? Well, all the examples in the Bible Jesus taught in Luke 18:1, men ought always pray and faint not. Don't give up. You just keep on praying. Why do we give on the first day of the week? That's what they did in New Testament times. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, lay by in store as you have prospered. Lay by and store, it means to put it aside for specific use, that there be no gatherings when I come. Why do we do this? Real worship involves three things. It involves shouting, as I said, energy, enthusiasm. Come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord. Let us shout aloud unto the rock of our salvation. Make a joyful noise, the Bible says. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. And let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. You say you can't sing? Hey, just make a joyful noise. We need to serve. That's what worship's all about, too. Serving. And serving with gladness. When called upon, you don't say, well, I'm just not going to be there today, or I got other things I need to do, and I don't feel comfortable. You know what? If the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that God wants to use you as a servant. As a servant. We have some people in this church, and I'm going to tell you, this is remarkable, who will come up and say, hey, do you need someone to serve this morning? I'm happy to do it. If somebody doesn't show up, just come get me. I'll be happy to do that. Isn't that the attitude that we all ought to have? You shouldn't have to be begged and pled with and to serve God. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. And I'm going to tell you something, this is honest truth. I had to throw this up here this morning because I want you to get it. I would rather cool down a fanatic who is on fire with the glory of God, wanting to worship Him, than to heat up a corpse. And we ought to start thinking more about what God thinks and what God wants. There's another dynamic to what we do, and that is singing, joyful singing. I love the song selections this morning, Dwight. Joyful singing unto God. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when you think about it? Think about Paul and Silas when they were in prison at Philippi. You know, when they were in prison that night because of their face ache and doing the work of God, the Bible says they started singing. And you know what? When they started singing, I mean, there was an earthquake. Cell doors were opened into prison, and prisoners were loose. Their armbands fell off. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, well, we could start an earthquake today? Just by our singing. That's what they did. At midnight, Paul and Silas could have said, oh, woe is me. Here we are in prison again for doing God's work. I just don't know whether it's worth it or not. I'm so anxious to get out of here. You know what they were doing? I mean, at midnight, when most people have closed their eyes in sweet slumber, Paul and Silas are sitting up, and maybe Paul says to Silas, Silas, why don't you lead us in a song? And he said, well, what kind of song do you want? And he says, well, something lively, something lively. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. I wonder if they knew the song, if they might have been singing along. I don't know. Maybe they were. I sing along, somebody starts singing, I start singing along with them. I start singing the tenor or the bass or whatever it happens to be. But they were singing and glorifying God. I like Nehemiah 12 and 42. The Bible says, and the singers sang aloud. Sometimes when we sing, it's like this. Oh, worship the King. You think God's glorified with that? You sing aloud. Like you mean it. That's what they did. And what does the Bible say about worship through singing? It says a whole lot, actually. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live, Psalm 104 and verse 33. And worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? But I will sing of Thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of Thy mercy in the morning, for Thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. That's a great lesson, isn't it? When you're going through trouble, sing. Sing. You know, I can't wait to get with all of God's singers who've gone home. We sing that song a lot, don't we? To be able to go and be in the house of God forever and ever. John would write the Revelation letter on the Isle of Patmos in chapter 19 of Revelation in verse 1 and say, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven singing, Hallelujah unto the Lord our God. Did you know the book of Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17 says that God sings over me with joy? I bet you never thought of God singing in heaven, did you? He does. The angels sing, we know, because they rejoice over one sinner that repenteth and comes to God. Luke chapter 15. And Luke 15 and verse 7, Just so I will tell you, there will be more joy in heaven, Christ says, over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. And suddenly, when Christ was born, the angel and the multitude of heaven were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Praise Him, all ye angels. Praise Him, all ye hosts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heaven. Praise Him in the highest. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him." Psalms 148 and verse 1. But did you know that obedience is the ultimate of our worship? For when we take the Lord's Supper, we're obeying God. We give, we're obeying God. When we preach His gospel, we're obeying God, worshiping God. Every aspect of our life. You know, I think about the meaning of baptism as an act of worship. Do you know that's really what it is? When a person comes to confess Christ as Lord and Savior and to really make Jesus the Lord of his life, he desires to be baptized in water for the remission of sins because he understands perhaps this is one way that I worship God. That's why I can't understand why people sit in the audience sometimes and we sing and we pray and we go through the mechanics of all of this. But when it comes to baptism, no, I'm not going to worship God that way. Why would you not? Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our." You know who our is? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The plurality. "And we will make our home with them." John 14 and verse 33. And John said, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey Him, His commandments. And the man who says, 'I know Him,' but does not do His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." First John 2 and verse 3. You see, in reality this morning, when we talk about worship, you're either going to do it in God's way or your way. Your way or God's way. Many of you may have read about a sociology professor named Anthony, or commonly known as Tony Campolo. He recalls a deeply moving incident that happened at a Christian junior high camp where he served. One of the campers, a boy with a spastic paralysis, get this picture now, spastic paralysis, was the object of someone's heartless ridicule. For when he would ask a question, the boys would deliberately answer in a halting, mimicking way to make fun of him. And one night, his cabin group chose him to lead the devotion before the entire camp. It was one more effort to have some fun at his expense. Unashamedly, the spastic boy stood up, and in his strained, slurred manner, each word coming with enormous effort, he said simply, "Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus." That was all. And conviction fell upon every one of those junior high kids. Many began to cry because they had made fun of him. Revival gripped the camp, and years afterward, Campolo still meets men in the ministry who came to Christ that night. Because of that young man's testimony. He knew what it was to worship. I hope you do. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning and give you an opportunity to worship God even further by confessing Him as Lord and Savior and by repenting of every sin and being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're a weak Christian this morning and you want us to pray for you and with you, we stand ready and willing to do that while we stand together and as we sing.